Hi everyone, Sane Made here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mark, and here's what he's briefly got to say. Hi Sane Made, I can tell from your videos that you're extremely knowledgeable about Bitcoin, and you've done your research on it. My brother wants to buy XRP, and I know you don't like it much, but that's his choice. I signed up for Coinbase, which I think was a big mistake. I made the first deposit with a credit card and was unable to link my bank account. Question: who would you recommend for an alternative to Coinbase? Have you ever done a video on your thoughts for what someone new to crypto would actually need to understand? With so many so-called gurus out there, who knows who to believe? But I would trust you over any of them. Many thanks, Mark. Well, Mark, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. And just for the record, I have both a Coinbase and a Kraken account, and I think both are okay. Now people need to understand that Bitcoin is king, and that without it there would be no crypto. It's got the largest network effects user base, with big corporations and institutions and governments buying it. America has a national Bitcoin stockpile too. But notice that there's no national XRP or Solana stockpile. With Bitcoin, you can't censor transactions the way that they did with the trucker protests in Canada a few years ago. Bitcoin is also the world's hardest money, i.e. the hardest money to make, and it has a hard cap of 21 million coins. For newbies, I tell people to study the 4-year cycle so they know when to start buying some. Although some people have the philosophy to buy small amounts every week or month by dollar cost averaging. I prefer to go hard and fast after a crash. So as of right now, my average is $22,000 per coin. I've continued to buy as the price has risen all the way into the 60s and 70s. You guys need to stay away from altcoins like XRP and Solana, because most of them will end up losing money. Sure, they won't potentially make as much as Bitcoin, but Bitcoin was always about slow and steady growth. But guys feel like they missed out on Bitcoin, so they're now trying to find the next Bitcoin, and there's no such thing. Lately, the price has fallen, and that's because the price also tends to follow global liquidity with a 105 to 110 day offset. The global money supply, or M2, money printing takes that long to work into the system, and then starts pumping assets. That means that most likely the price will start rising around May 1st. There are other things that indicate when we approach a top. There's something called the Pi Cycle Top Indicator. It's worked perfectly to predict the last two tops in the Bitcoin market. Gary over at Crypto Career University, I trust his analysis, and he's made the right calls for many years now. His Fibonacci Phase 4 takes the price up to $175,000 sometime at the end of the year. But if it drops below $70,000 and stays there a couple of weeks, then the run is over. We are in something called bearish divergence right now. The price made an all-time high around 108, but the strength of new buyers fizzled out. Bitcoin is unlike the stock market in commodities. With commodities, people are scared that the price will go up and things like oil will become more expensive, putting pressure on the economy. With the stock market, more people are afraid that the stocks will crash than grow. With Bitcoin, an equal number of people believe it's going to zero, as there are people believing that it's going to go to the moon. Today's not-so-mystery link, which I put in the description, is from the Lid Nomad, a former quant and trader in Chicago, and he explains this quite well. Truth be told, it's hard to know where to price Bitcoin because it's such a new asset. I spend around 2 or 3 hours a day watching Bitcoin content for insight. We're definitely closer to the top than the bottom. Getting in now near the end of the cycle could be disastrous, or it might be rewarded if the US government does something like buy 200,000 Bitcoin a year, along with Michael Saylor, over at the company called Strategy. I'm reluctant to sell at this time because what if we enter something called hyper-Bitcoinization and the price gets into the multiple hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars really quickly? I could also just ride the price all the way down to 30 or 40,000 and then take that double leverage position after we see a 70 or 80% haircut. Or I could sell it and go short, and if the price goes up parabolically, then I lose my gains. At this point, it's a game of probabilities. It's most likely the price will go down again, so it's not a bad choice to sell and take some profits. Again, I'll probably sell around 65 if it drops below 70. I'll probably sell some during the next pump higher, and then wait until the end of the year to short it, meaning I'll bet that it goes down and make money as the price falls. The easiest time to buy a Bitcoin is at the bottom of the market. The hardest part is knowing when to get out. Other coins like XRP, Solana, and Ethereum are smaller in market cap and are impossible to predict. I'm already racking my brain trying to figure out Bitcoin, spending hours a day doing so, and then people show up pretending to be experts in altcoins and meme coins without even understanding what Bitcoin is. As for crypto exchanges, there's nothing wrong with using Coinbase. Sure, the commissions might be a bit more than other platforms, but be careful because there are platforms like FTX out there that stole everybody's money. So keeping your coins with Coinbase, a publicly traded company, is a lot safer, even if you have to pay an extra 1%. I use Coinbase and also use BitBuy, which is the largest exchange in Canada, because I'm willing to pay an extra 1% to convert my coins for the security of knowing they won't just run off with my capital. Bitcoin is also heavily correlated with the stock market these days. Stocks are reaching overheated positions. I already sold my tech stocks last summer when I realized that AI wasn't all it was hyped up to be. I sold my IYW fund for $151, and it eventually went up to $170. But as of scripting, this is down in the mid-130s. Then there's real estate, which tends to go in 18-year real estate cycles, instead of Bitcoin's 4-year one. We saw a crash in 2008 and 1990 before that, so we're overdue for one in 2026. And the cracks are already forming in Florida, Texas, and Nashville. Inventory is piling up. In Canada, where I live, pre-construction condo sales are at record lows and down 80% from last year's levels. Bitcoin also has the advantage where if you own the keys and have access to it, then you actually own it. Mark, you could just buy some at a cheaper exchange and then transfer it immediately to a hard wallet if you're willing to ride it down to 35,000 or potentially up to a million. I keep half my bag on a hard wallet with my own keys. The rest is on tax-deferred accounts like the Canadian version of the Roth IRA. The majority of women I've spoken to about money and assets want a house and they don't want stocks, bonds, or Bitcoin, because they aren't able to show those off and increase their status that way. As for Bitcoin and protecting your money from women, it's the perfect way to hide money from an ex, because you need a forensic crypto account to track it down. There was even an article I highlighted a while back with a woman freaking out, because her ex-husband made off like a bandit with Bitcoin. Between buying Bitcoin ETFs in your 401k Roth IRA and possibly moving to a jurisdiction that doesn't have any tax, that means the government nor women would actually be able to get my cash. If Pierre Poilievre is elected as the Prime Minister of Canada, he's saying he's thinking of getting rid of all the capital gains for Canadians if they invest in Canadian companies. That probably means that owning Canadian Bitcoin ETFs would probably reduce my taxes to zero. If he ends up making Canadian investments more attractive than American ones for Canadians, because we won't have to pay our gains, then it's going to hurt the US economy. Because right now, the vast majority of Canadians invest a huge chunk of their money into the United States. That will also strengthen the Canadian dollar. That's exactly what Trump doesn't want. He wants the opposite, and for Canadians to bend over backwards to his tariff talk. It's great stuff if they drop taxes for people like myself with tons of assets. But in the long run, that's going to increase wealth inequality. It's more fair to tax wealth earned through passive income than actual work. Otherwise, the wealth inequality will be off the scales at some point. The reason that I own Bitcoin is not to get rich, but to simply stay in the middle class. Being middle class these days and owning your own home and funding a modest middle class lifestyle requires at least $3 million these days. 10 years ago, with that much net worth, you were wealthy. Today, it's the equivalent of $1.5 million in 2016 in Canada. If I had to make the case for crypto and Bitcoin rising, Bitcoin specifically, it's that for so many people out there, it's their last hope to escape poverty. So they're increasingly willing to bet it all on meme coins or Bitcoin and say they took a chance once in their lives. It's kind of like playing the lottery with better odds. Anywho, whatever the outcome in the next year or so, I'm hopefully going to sell higher and buy lower later on. Say we have a drawdown to 35,000, and I get bottom signals from the guy I trust in the space who has been right over and over again. Then I'll buy BitU, the ProShares Ultra Bitcoin ETF, which is 2x leveraged. Then all the price has to do is get back to previous all-time highs, or even halfway there, and I can have more than enough FU money to live out my life and build my sex bots. My faith in Bitcoin is that more and more companies, individuals, and governments are adopting it. This is the total hash rate in blue, and that's the number of computers used to secure the network. No other crypto has millions of computers all over the world verifying every transaction. This is why it's the most secure network in the world. Big financial institutions and wealthy individuals don't need fast transactions. They need something slow and steady like Bitcoin as a long-term store of value. As long as we all agree that it has value, then it has value. When millennials get money from their boomer parents, where do you think they're going to put that cash? My money's on Bitcoin. Bitcoin also seems to rise 30 to 40% a year, which is the CAGR, or compound annual growth rate. I've also been debating just selling all my Bitcoin and making 60 to 70% of my money trading government bond ETFs. The price goes up and down 1 or 2% a day. On $1 million, 1% is 10 grand. so it's not that crazy to double your money each year. But that's a topic for another day. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mark for the donation as well as the topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Mark wants to smash the buy button on Bitcoin, but he may have to ride it all the way down into a crash if he does. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. The link is down below. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and it won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the idiots that think that lowering taxes on investments to 0% is a good idea away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.